and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Paul Chapman grew up boxing, playing football, and going to Sandy Beach. Paul and his brother Mark studied the Bible with the Jehovah's Witnesses for over 10 years, every Wednesday, at the direction of their mother. How does God take someone and develop them? Athlete, devoted in studying the Bible, at least from the perspective of the Jehovah's Witness. Well, Paul graduated from Kaiser High School and went on to play football at Mount San Jacinto Junior College in California. And after coming home, he, threw himself into fulfilling the desires that most young athletes, love to do, even in the face of a form of religious upbringing. But God was going to do something in his life that he is here to share with us about, because through Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, who shed his blood on that cross to wash our sins away, who was buried and rose again on the third day, Paul Chapman experienced what it means to have a personal relationship with God. And my friend, you can experience a personal relationship with God as well. And if you're already walking with the Lord, well, it's our hope that you will be built up and made strong through this time together. Paul, welcome to our show.
Thank you, sir.
So you grew up boxing, playing football, went to Mount San Jacinto College. But what was it like growing up on the east side of Oahu?
Waikai was a really fantastic place, relatively small back in the 80s. Everybody knew each other, and it was just a really incredible time in my life that kind of formed who I am. Mm-hmm. We were quite infamous. Didn't have a care in the world living on that side of the island. The world ended at Kalananole Highway. If I could go to the beach every day, spend time with my friends, that was a great life. That was a fantastic life.
Now, you were studying the Bible at a young age. I mean, 10 years, a whole decade. On the request, or maybe the command of Mom, right? With the Jehovah's Witness. What went on there? What was that like? How did God use that?
So my mom grew up, like, when we were babies, when we were growing up, we grew up actually in Kaneohe, and my mom started studying the Bible with the Jehovah's Witnesses when we were kids, because they're the only ones that would come to the house in Kaneohe. And so they were very nice people. They're very knowledgeable. What I came to learn later, just very sincerely misled. And so my brother and I were just growing up completely godless, I guess, would be fair to say. And my mom decided that we needed a little bit of God in our lives. Mm. And since they didn't want to go to church, the easiest way would be to have church come to us. So we started studying the Bible with the Jehovah's Witnesses, with a man who became a very good, dear friend of the family. His name was Ken, a great guy. And that's basically how it all started.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Wow. Probably my dad. Well, both parents. We grew up in a nuclear home, but both of my parents had been divorced twice before they met each other. So I had, it was a mixed household. And so seeing, again, you grew up without God and, well, without knowing him. Mm-hmm. And they both had big impacts on our life, big impacts. And so to attribute more impact to one of the other would be unfair.
Talk about your dad. In what way? How did your dad impact you?
So my dad is from California, and he moved to Hawaii because he met my mom, and they had their own love story. And he was the one who got us into boxing. He was concerned because my mom is Hawaiian and he's white, that we would get picked on. And so he was very concerned about that. And so he pushed us into boxing. And I wasn't a very good boxer. We were young, you know, 9 years old. And he's still alive. My dad is 83 now. And still a fantastic man, cares so much for his family. He worked, he gave me my work ethic, worked very hard to support our family. Always very proud of his sons. And did anything and everything possible so that we could have the type of relationship with him that he didn't have with his father, and also that we could always trust and believe that he would be there for us.
How about your mom? Her impact?
My mom passed away in 2008, and from a lengthy battle with lung cancer. And she was always kind of that, the pillar in the house, the one who was going to be the strong one. And she, you know, she was always faithful in her execution of motherly duties. She worked, both of my parents worked, so we were latchkey kids. But my mom every night made sure that we had dinner on the table, made sure that we ate dinner as a family, made sure that we understood that she expected us to do what was right. But the interesting thing about both my parents was that they never really had any hopes or dreams for their kids apart from growing up healthy and happy. That was it.
You feel, do you wish that there was more?
I do. You know, prior to my mom passing away, it was her last Thanksgiving in 2007. I sat down with her and attempted to interview her and record it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of electronic static, so I didn't get much of it, but I was surprised to know that she never really had any big dreams for us, didn't expect us to go to college, didn't expect us to get a great career. She just wanted us to make it into adulthood, healthy and well-adjusted. And that was surprising.
Do you feel that would have made a difference?
Yes, because I realize now as a parent that our children have, well, people in general really have no idea where they're going. Everyone's faking it almost until they find their purpose in life. Everyone's faking it and they think they know what's happening and they're just kind of making it up as they go along. And for, as a son, to not have someone point me in a direction and shoot me off in that area and encourage the growth there, it made a big difference.
So it's almost like knowing what you know now as a dad, you can kind of retroactively go back, place yourself there and say, how much of a difference it could have made it would have made.
Danny, I've spent a lot of time programming my children before, but when they were programming in the sense of this, when they were born, I would spend time whispering in their ear and talking to them, explaining to them how much God loves them, telling them the type of blessings that I want for them, praying over them, just continually. And now my daughter is 12, and I want her to know that God has an amazing, amazing plan for her life. If she'll reach out and take hold of the hem of his garment, if she will follow him, then she'll have the greatest adventure ever that never ends. Mm. And my son, same thing. It's just, now it's a matter of, as a parent, reflecting or showing them what I expect by living it myself. Mm-hmm. And that means trusting God and having faith in Him, and then stepping out and making the being unpopular if it's for the sake of doing what's right.
You speak of God with such tenderness. You speak of destiny, a theme of divine destiny that God has for your daughter, for your son. Almost the sense I get, Paul, is a yearning. Oh, if I had that, oh, what difference would it make? But at the same time, the yearning is turned to an unstoppable resolve that it's going to be different with my kids. It's going to be different with my family and the future of my line, as it were. Well, I wonder about your relationship with Christ. How did you become a Christ follower? Especially in light of the fact that you spent 10 years studying the Bible with the Jehovah's Witness. So when we come back, let's spend some time there.
Absolutely.
Share what you learned. Share out of the experiences that you had on a very dedicated basis how you came to know Jesus. And really, what difference has Jesus made in your life? Hey, is there a difference in Jehovah's Witness than Orthodox Christianity? If so, what? That and more. Paul Chapman, will you share that with us?
Absolutely, my brother.
Okay, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you know, you can see somebody living their life and it could be admirable. You could be respectable of it. Because they're doing their very best. And you know what? It's decent. Maybe even more than decent. Maybe it's attractive. Maybe it's impressive. But deep down inside, there is a distinction when somebody lives life with a purpose and a sense of God's destiny. You're talking about a completely different quality of life. And who knows? Who knows what it really is like, and how can you really tell unless you talk to somebody? And I'm with someone today. His name is Paul Chapman. He's experienced the grace of God in his life. If you were to see him, you would see a strapping man who you would not doubt that he's an athlete, a football player, a boxer. And boy, his children, they've got some great genes. But spiritually speaking, the Lord has touched his heart and his life. And there's a tenderness there, as you will hear today at the Good Life Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. You can find out more about this program. Get this as a free podcast at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Paul, how did you become a Christian?
The short of the long is that I had a power experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing up in Hawaii Kai, mixed family, one night my older brother came over and we were sleeping, or we were in our bedroom at least, and he came over and told a story about how his uncle was a pastor in Waimanalo and how he was doing an exorcism. And they had this experience, and what I didn't know was that what I had realized was that my brother had brought an evil spirit into our house. And from that night forward, we were in our bedroom. My mother had just come back from Mexico. There was a guitar on the wall, and the guitar started playing. And of course, it's dark, and so we're terrified. But for the next 15 years, till 1995, so this is, we're in second or third grade, all the way until 1995, every night that there was moonless, so every month I would be visited by an evil spirit. I know that sounds crazy, but I didn't know what it was. And we're studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I would be woken up, and I shared a room with my brother, and there would be a dark, evil presence in the room. And I didn't know what to do, and it would like press on my chest, but I would be paralyzed with fear. And I'm sure that there's many people mm-hmm. out there who have had this happen to them. But this was consistent. Every time it was moonless, I'd be terrified to go to sleep. Anyway, I met a Christian in 1995. And I explained what happened to me, what was happening to me.
And it was still happening.
It was still happening as an adult. Like, mm-hmm. this is not a childhood memory or a nightmare. This is like happening. And I told her what happened. And she said to me, "Oh, that's easy." I said, "What do you mean it's easy?" She said, the next time that spirit confronts you, all you say is, "In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood, I command you to leave." And I said to her, "Jesus? I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I don't need Jesus. Jehovah's the name above all names." And she calmly said, "No, it's Jesus. The next time it happens, just do what I told you to do." So about 2 weeks later, I came home to an empty apartment I was sharing with two other guys. And I was with a friend. And my key, as soon as my key hit the door, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. I'll never forget it. The hair on my head stood up on end, and I immediately began crying because I knew on the other side of that door, that evil presence was right there. And I said, "We got to go." And my friend said, "No, I need to use a bathroom. You need to go in." I said, "No, I have to leave. We can't go in there." And they said, "Just do what my mother told you to do." So I went in, and I'm crying uncontrollably. It's so fearful, Danny. I don't know if you ever felt an evil spirit when you have nothing covering you, but I was terrified. And so I said, "Okay, this is it. I'm going to find out if Jesus is, or Jehovah is really the name above all names." So I said, "In the name of Jehovah, I command you to leave. In the name of Jehovah, I command you to leave." And the presence wouldn't leave. And all I was able to do was croak out, "In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his blood, I command you to leave." And that spirit left. It was gone like that. My friend walked in, and I said, "Who is this Jesus I need to know who this Jesus is, because they never, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't have this Jesus. 2 weeks later, I was at Word of Life, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and my life has never been the same.
So how do you reconcile, Paul, you know, your years of being taught or indoctrinated in the Jehovah's Witness? You know, they have the New World Translation, right, of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and you're studying it diligently. How do you reconcile all of that, your knowledge, your experiences, and then now this power encounter, like you say, evil spirit that's with you from when you were a child, now in as an adult, and then in the name of Jesus, at the name of Christ, this spirit leaves. How do you reconcile that?
At the time, I couldn't. I didn't know. But I knew that there was something real. And it took a while for me to be discipled. I was discipled in Kailua. My cousin George took me to a church in Kailua, and I was discipled by a pastor named Wendell Choi, fantastic man of God. And I remember the night I didn't understand, Danny. I didn't know. I couldn't reconcile it, but I knew that what I had learned was not the truth, or that it was some semblance of the truth. And there was a night, a Wednesday night service, Pastor Wendell had just finished teaching on the deity of Christ. And I sat there for 30 minutes after, while everyone is fellowshipping, and I kept repeating, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. See, the Jehovah's Witnesses preach that Jesus is a God, but he is not God. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a fake Jesus. They don't have the real Jesus. And I sat there for 30 minutes because I could never say that. I thought it was blasphemy to say that Jesus was God. And I sat there for a full 30 minutes just repeating, Jesus is God. Wow, Jesus is God. And so subsequently over the years, I've been able to reconcile it, because the truth of the scriptures shows us that he is the great I am. In John 8:58, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they were going to kill him because the Jews knew he was saying that he is Almighty God.
They knew what he was saying.
They knew what he was saying. And so I've gone back to my Bible study teacher a couple of times and tried to share the truth with him, and he won't receive it. Primarily because the Watchtower organization insulates their members from any outside criticism. So no matter, and if you are excommunicated from them, even your own family is not allowed to talk to you. So a conversion is worse than an apostasy. They look at it as if they don't have a hell, so you're just going to be destroyed. And so the scriptures reconcile. I don't have to reconcile it. I just have to put my faith in the Word of God and to say, I believe it. And it's all right there. It's very, very, very clear.
Now, let's take a few steps back. You came back from Mount San Jacinto playing football there at the junior college. When you came back, you went to a place. I mean, I don't know whether it was around the same time you had this power encounter, but you were just kind of going off, right? I mean,
Yes, sir.
You were, let's just call it, you were living a life of indulgence.
Okay. I was sinning.
Okay. to be direct, right?
Yes.
So as you went along, how did God prepare your heart for what was going to be, as you're living now, a life devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ?
No matter how much I filled my life with anything and everything, it was empty. No matter what I did, no matter how much fun I had, no matter or how bad I felt, at the end of the day, I was alone. I was by myself. I had nothing. You ever been in a room full of people and felt completely alone? That was me all the time. I worked in Waikiki. You want to talk about preparing my heart. Even when I was studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses, I was working in Waikiki. My trade is sales. So I was learning how to be a salesman. And in Waikiki, there's many evangelists and churches out there that pass out tracts. So I was addicted to the Jack Chick tracts.
The Chick tracts.
Oh, yeah, the Chick tracts. I would read those all the time, even as a Jehovah's Witness. And I prayed the prayer at the end so many times because I wanted to be saved. But I didn't know. I couldn't tell the difference. And I praise the Lord because through all of my wandering, He held my hand and He never deserted me. Psalm 139 says, though I go to the ends of the earth, lo, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, there you are. There's no running from Him. And I'm so glad that the Father gave me to Jesus. And so preparing my heart, my whole life was just empty and worthless. And He gave me something of worth, and that's Him.
A bit of clarity or even maybe distinction about some of the teachings that were, clear for you. I mean, because you came from a Jehovah's Witness background, when we come back from our break, Paul, someone may be wondering, innocently, hey, what's the difference? I thought they're Christians too. You know, I thought, why make such a distinction? Is that really something that needs to be done? Because for some, they might say, well, of course, you know, that's a given. But for someone else, it might be really a genuine question, authentic. They mean no ill will by it. They just want to know what's the difference. Is there a difference when it comes to repentance? Is there a difference? You mentioned a little bit about hell. How does that work in life? And now as a believer in Jesus, how has that made a difference today and what God is doing in your life? We'll be back with more from Paul Chapman. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
I'm looking at a bus pass. I'm looking at a bus pass here. It actually says October 1995. It's an adult bus pass. It has a great deal of significance to our guest today. He's going to tell the story about it. His name is Paul Chapman, and I'm so glad you're with us. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Find out more about this program and get this podcast for free. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. That and other resources we have available for you. Oka Kopa, that's October, right? For
that's what the bus pass says.
October 1995, the bus. What's the significance of this? Now, of course, I see the backside of it, but I'm going to let you explain, Paul.
So, I get saved, I believe, August, September of 1995. What's amazing is the Lord, when He pulls you out of the mud, He pulls you out of the mire, all of that stuff starts dripping off and He starts washing you. So I'm losing people who I thought were my friends. I'm losing even property that I own. I'm living in a place that I shouldn't be living. But all along I keep praying, like, Lord, you know, what do you want from me? Even as a baby Christian, just calling out to Him. I'm sitting at a bar because that's where the vestiges of people I thought were my friends were. I'm drinking, you know, I'm sitting at the bar drinking water. It's a full bar Friday night. And my bicycle just got stolen. I lost a job because I'd been praying. I didn't want to work as a bouncer anymore. And as soon as the prayer exited my mouth, my phone rang and I get terminated. Big stuff is happening. I'm sitting there and I'm asking the Lord, like, Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to get around? I have no transportation. Lord Jesus, what can you help me? Please help me. And just as that exits my mouth, I'm sitting there, I feel a tap on my shoulder. And I turn around and I'm like, what? And it's this homeless guy. He looked homeless. I can't remember his face, but I remember him. And he said, would you like to buy a bus pass? And I had just been praying. I said, no. And I said, wait, let me take a look at it. So I look at the bus pass, and sure enough, it's a October 1995. It was current. But what got me was when I turned over the bus pass, it was signed Jesus Christ and the bearer's signature. I freaked out because as a Jehovah's Witness, they don't have, there's nothing like this in that religion. There's nothing like that. I had been touched when I got saved. A mountain came off my shoulders. I had been touched when, you know, He removed me from a job. But this was so personal, so immediate, so transparently God to me that it was beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus hears our prayers. And as a Jehovah's Witness, they, you know, the Apostle John said in one of his letters, he said, if you have not the Son, you have not the Father. And even in the New World Translation of Jehovah's Witnesses Bible, it says the same thing, almost. But like a blind man, like Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus and he had the scales on his eyes, I was blinded. And when the Lord removed those scales from my eyes, I was able to see Jesus is God. And the distinction matters.
What did you learn about repentance? In the New World Translation, in your studies?
With the Jehovah's Witnesses, I was taught that you can repent one time. And then it has to be heartfelt, and you have to mean it. Otherwise, you'll be rejected by Jehovah. And so I was holding on to that one repentance. I had it in my back pocket like an ace in a hole, if you're a poker player. I'm like holding on to that thing because I can't repent. I can never ask for forgiveness because I might commit the same sin the next day. And so I was holding on to it. But all the while, my soul was rotting in my sin. And I had no relationship with God.
So Jehovah's Witness, when they go two by two, they come and knock on our doors, your door, my door, other doors. What are they feeling? What are they doing? What motivates them? What compels them to be so diligent in their practice?
I've come to learn there's only two religions in the world. There's a religion of works, and there's the religion of grace. Biblical Christianity is the religion of grace. It's about relationship. What Jehovah's Witnesses are doing when they go two by two are fulfilling a command in order to prove their obedience. The law is completely in place for them. They must be obedient to whatever they're told to do. They are excellent at regurgitating facts or scripture. But they're lost. They're terrified. They're going out there because they don't want to be left behind in the resurrection at the last day. They want to live on paradise earth. But they have no hope of heaven. They have no hope of eternal life in that sense. None. And so, if they come to your door as a Christian, the story of the true gospel of Christ is very foreign to them because it's not Jesus that saves you. They don't know your Jesus. They do not know my Jesus. They have a different Jesus altogether.
Now you have come, God brought you from a certain background, and you speak with, there's a fluidness, there's an eloquence in the way that you communicate, and then, but I can feel your heart. What has Jesus, you know, we look at the bus pass. I mean, it's an amazing thing to see, especially hearing your story. But what is it about Christ, Paul, that he has touched your heart so deeply?
He never gave up on me. He never gave up on my family. He's been kind to me. He's shown me compassion. He's blessed me beyond anything that I could have ever hoped in my life. He's helped me see that the only thing I have of true value is my soul. And he loves me for that.
How has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
When my mom died, I had spent a couple weeks every day praying the story of Lazarus. I said John 8 and John chapter 8 or John chapter 11. John chapter 11, I think. And Martha and Mary saying, hey, listen, if you will, he's going to live again, right? The resurrection. And I kept praying, like, Lord, I was going through a real difficult time because I always believed that he can heal, or that he would heal. Maybe if I prayed a little harder. Maybe if I was a little more faithful to him. Maybe if I gave a little more. Maybe if I did something. So I did. And my mom died. I remember the morning she died, I was praying and in my brother's bedroom, and I knew she was going to go home that day. She was already in a kind of in and out of a coma. And so I was like, okay, you're going to take her home. Well, when they finally came and got her body, I followed them as they took her out into the cul-de-sac, because my brother then lived in a cul-de-sac. And I heard him as they loaded her body and took her away, I heard him very clearly in my head say, "What are you going to do, Paul?" And I realized that I had a choice. I could leave him. I could walk away. Or I could give him my life. And I said, "I'm going to serve you. Because even if you slay me," right? The words of Job, right? "Even if you slay me, I'm going to just praise you. I'm going to love you." He's helped me, because even in the most difficult times, he's been able to shore up my strength. He's been able to comfort me and show me a way through.
He says, even in those difficult moments, he uses the word shore up my strength. You ever wonder where that comes from? If you experience that deeper resolve, something that is beyond. Well, I know some people may take credit for it, but can we really take credit for it? As much as can we really take credit for good health? Can we take credit that we can breathe, our lungs inhale, exhale? Can we really take credit for resolve? Or is it that God in his grace shores us up? Well, he's done it for Paul Chapman. And Paul attributes it to the Lord. I think we all should. But that's the thing. He can shore us up. And it's not only in the great times. I tend to differ. If someone says, "Hey, it's in the great times that my faith really is on the rock and roll," as it were, I beg to differ. Could it be that our faith is really galvanized when we realize that it's beyond us? That in our weakest, darkest, loneliest, helpless moment of desperation, we choose Christ and he is there. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So what happens after you give your life to Jesus Christ? You're so touched that you can have a personal relationship with God, and you're experiencing what it means, and your life has changed. But when you go home, your dad is agnostic. He's, well, maybe there's a God, maybe there isn't a God. But that's the reality. The dad is there, and mom is involved in, over the course of years, been indoctrinated with another form of religion. But you love Jesus. What do you do? Oh, your hope to lead them to Christ? But how can you? I'm wondering if we can learn something from our guest today, Paul Chapman. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Paul Chapman is here to share his story. Paul, does that sound familiar, what I just described?
Strangely enough, yes.
That's a great setup. Take us further.
So I move home in 1995. My mom comes and gets me from this hellhole I'm living in. And it wasn't that bad. I exaggerate, I'm sorry. But just someplace I shouldn't be. And I go home and I am absolutely addicted to Jesus. I am trying to go to church as often as possible. Tuesday night is prayer night. Wednesday night is midweek. Saturday is worship team practice. And Sunday is service. And I'm at church all the time. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, the old is past, the new is come. And there's nothing in my life that consumes me more than going to church, fellowship in Christ. And so my parents are weirded out. They are concerned about my mental health and well-being because their son went from living a sinful life to someone who just reads his Bible and prays and who's impacted by this church, and they don't understand. So my dad had a saying. He would always challenge me each night. He would say, God helps those who help themselves. So I scoured the Bible looking for it. Guess what? It's not there. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. It's a lie from a pit. And so my dad and I would, every night that he came home from work, we would spend a couple of hours, and he would argue with me, and I would say, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to find out. And so my parents drove me, and the Holy Spirit led me in study. And thanks to our wonderful host, Danny, I'm sure I had an incredible, great mentorship through his book. And I know I could do this. Anyway, so after, I don't even remember how long, but I had led my mother to Christ. She prayed, the sinner's prayer. And then a few weeks later, more than likely, my dad gave his heart to Christ. And then in 2000, I baptized both of my parents after 3 or 4 years of just regular conversation and such. Mm. And it was a very proud day in my life that my parents would rededicate themselves to the Lord.
You baptized them?
I baptized them.
How did it feel?
It was just a supreme humility. I just felt so humbled. It's really emotional because I not in my wildest dreams, first of all, that I would be saved, become a Christian, become evangelist, learn apologetics, try to do all of these things, and then God would give me the distinct honor to baptize my parents. It was beyond me. It was too much. I was overflowing. Mm. It was too much.
Paul, what would you say? What would you say to a friend? Okay, a friend you grew up with, friend you played, a friend you play football with, a friend you box with, but a friend who today they might be searching, they might be listening to this program. Hey, I know that voice. Hey, I know where I know him. I know how he was. But they might be in a place of life right now. Maybe you talked to them before and they weren't open. But maybe they're open more now than they were before because they're searching. Stuff has happened. What would you say to them in relation to their potential relationship with Jesus Christ?
First of all, I'd say hello.
And that's a good start.
I would say, hey, how's it? I would share with them that there is so much more. That the God of heaven truly loves them. That the circumstances in their life, some of them they put themselves in, some of them they had no choice. But that God gave them one real choice, and that's to answer his call. He says, he's not far away from those who seek me. He said, "If repentance is, in essence, is just turning around. He's that close. We have to just make one step." And I would tell, and I would share with them that salvation is not something for later. In the by and by, salvation is for right now, because he saves me. I'm not only I'm saved now, but he saves me every day, because that's just his, that's just who he is to me, is that he just pulls me back. He just holds on to me.
Hope Chapel West Side, Pastor Dave Wilson.
West Side.
What has the Lord put on the heart of the ministry there at Hope Chapel West Side, and how is the Lord leading you? How is the Lord leading you through Pastor Dave and the rest of the leaders there?
Discipleship. That's one of the, you know, the Lord didn't say go out and make converts. He said make disciples. And Pastor Dave is outstanding at, very faithful in the mission to make disciples. All disciples of Christ are Christians. Unfortunately, not all Christians are disciples. He's the ministry at Hope Chapel West Side is concerned with making disciples, people who will follow and serve the Lord and love him in spirit and in truth, worship him in spirit and in truth throughout the day and throughout the week, and make other disciples.
How do you do that?
Faithful adherence to the word, not reading into it more than you ought to, sticking with this, you know, sticking with the milk at first and then moving on to the meat, helping people to grow, showing, I guess by example, you live a life that it exemplifies God's faithfulness and his willingness to intervene on our behalf. And then when things don't go the way that we think they should, understanding the sovereign nature of who he is and why he does what he does. And even if you can't, just trusting that he's good. So what he's done is good. And I have to come around that way. And disciples follow the Lord when it's sunny and when it's stormy. They're with him. And that's what it means to be. That's how we learn to be disciples.
What has been your favorite scripture in this season of your life?
I changed careers in February of 2013. And the scripture that got me through and has gotten me through is, why do you worry? You can't turn one hair gray with your worry. Look at the sparrows. They neither toil nor sow. And yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Look at the flowers of the field. Even Solomon in all his splendor wasn't dressed like these. Aren't you worth many sparrows? Mm. Aren't you worth many sparrows? And that has gotten me through every day. I'm worth lots of sparrows. I'm worth plenty.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
And that's a great reminder for us. That's a great way to transition. Brother Paul, I appreciate you. And I'm very grateful that you took this time. We got about a minute left. With that scripture, could you lead in prayer now for someone who may be going through a transition themselves in whatever phase of life they're in? Please.
Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so very much for your goodness, your love, and your mercy. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much that you made sure to share with us that we are worth many sparrows. You have encouraged me and strengthened me through this season. Father, I pray by your Spirit that all who are hearing this now would know that they are worth many sparrows, that you care so deeply for them, that you will always look out for them, and that no matter what happens, when they call upon the name of Jesus,
yes,
that it is for their good and not for their bad, that you have a plan, a hope, and a reason for the season that they're in. So bless them, keep them, and make your face shine upon them. Mm. We love you, thank you, and praise you. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.
Paul, I appreciate you. Thank you for your ministry of prayer, your ministry of the word. Boy, it's just a marvel to me how you are able to just quote the word, because it's been filtered through your life, your life experience, and how the Lord has spoken to you through the scripture that you have quoted today. Brother, thank you again for being with us. And dear one, as you have heard Paul Chapman today, I hope you've been inspired by his story. Because you know what? Even as he is an evangelist, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. We nod our heads. Yes, do it, dear friend. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus to help us with your financial support, to make a donation. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Paul Chapman. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave